We're holding on Chaf Amud Aleph, second line.
Chaf Aleph.
Chaf Amud Aleph.
Amud Aleph.
We dealt yesterday with a case where you're cutting up an animal, or you're shechting and cutting up an animal of a korban in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Beis Hamet B'chaim, and you find the needle in the flesh. So we said the needle is tame and metame the meat. We gave two possibilities. One is that it was a needle that was known to be an avatoma, and therefore, and you recognized it, and therefore it's metame the meat. The other possibility we said is that it was a needle that may have come from outside Yerushalayim, and outside Yerushalayim we say that Suffolk Kalim are tame. In any case, we said the meat is tame, but the hands of the Kohen who's cutting up the animal and the knife that are being used are tahor. And we were discussing the exact reasons. We were discussing the exact reasons why. So far as the hands, the reason is because there's a gzera of tumas yadayim, that whatever is metame or whatever passels truma midarabonon makes a person's hands tame. But we don't impose that gzera in the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, the person's hands remain tame. We said also it's a suffix whether he touched it, and since the azara is considered a Rosh Hasharabim, then the suffix in Rosh Hasharabim, suffix toma in Rosh Hasharabim is tahar. As far as the knife, ultimately we said the Gemara hadn't spelled out, but we said that the Ran explains that the Gemara had at first thought that there's mashkim involved that would transfer the tumah from the one keli, the needle, to the other keli, the knife. But we said in the end there are no mashkim involved, as we're going to discuss now, and therefore there was nothing for the knife to become tameh with. Okay. So the question is, v'habosa tameh. We said in the Braisa that the meat of the korban is tameh. So the question is, hi bosa de iskasha b'mai. How exactly did this meat become mukshul lekabel tuma? E nema de iskasha b'dam. Are you going to say that it became mukshul with its own blood? You shechted it. You're cutting it up, and the blood that came out of it, and the blood that's in the flesh, is mukshul lekabel tuma. Can't. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says in the name of Rav Yechanan, we learned this the other day, minayin ladam kodshim she'enei machshir. How do we know that blood of kodshim is not machshir lekabel tuma? The pasuk says, don't eat it, the blood. You should pour it on the ground like water, implying dam shenishbach kamayim machshir. Only if it's poured out on the ground like water is it machshir. V'she'enei nishbach kamayim enei machshir. If it's not poured out like water, It's meant to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Then it's not machshir. So the blood that came out of the blood that came out of the animal during the shechita is not going to be machshir it, because that blood is supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. In fact, Rashi says, by the way, the question could have been asked on the pasuk itself. We learned a pasuk yesterday where the pasuk mentions that meat of kodshim that touches anything tameh becomes tameh. So again, what is it mukshul lekabel tuma with? Okay, Rashi says the thing is that there we're talking, for example, meat of shlomim, let's say, which is being cooked. After all, you can eat it anywhere in the city. So of course, therefore, before you're cooking it, you're going to be washing it. You're going to be cooking it, maybe in soup or something. So therefore, obviously, there's many opportunities for there to be hechsher lekabel tuma. But here we're talking about you're shechting it and cutting it up in the azara. You haven't yet gotten to the point of cooking it yet. So that's the question: where is the hechsher taking place? So again, it can't be from the blood of the shechita. And the elod iskasha b'mashke base mit b'chaya. Are you going to say that it becomes mukshul lekabel tuma with the liquids of the base mit b'chayim, because they use water to wash the pieces of meat, and in particular the intestines. But the idea is they also use them to they also use it to wash the meat in general. Can't va'amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina mashke beis mit b'chayim loy dayan shein dochon. Not only are those mashke beis mit b'chayim themselves tahor, as we learned before, Rabbi Yosef Ben Yezer says that we discussed what Rav and Shmuel say. Does it mean that they're not metame other things? Does it mean that they are metame other things? They themselves just aren't tame. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says not only that loy dayan shein dochon. Not only they're tahor ela shein machshirin. They're not even machshir lekabel tuma. Now, when we brought the statement of Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina a few days ago on Daf Tzayin, the Gemara had said over there that maybe that's referring only to the blood, but the water that's used in Beis Hamit Mechayim would be machshir. However, Tosfos says the Gemara only did that because there was a doichik, because we were trying to figure out Rav's opinion over there. But now we don't need that. So now we can say Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina means it at face value, that neither the blood nor the water is machshir at all. After all, the expression is she'ein machshirin, that they are not machshir, implying that we're talking about two liquids, blood and water, and neither of them is machshir. The actual reason they're not machshir, Tosfos says, is there is an opinion. There is an opinion, in particular in the Gemara and Cholin, that says that midaraisa, only water that's only when it comes to water, only if it's originally attached to its source in the ground is it machshir, not if it's detached. Other liquids, that doesn't matter, but other liquids you're not usually going to find in the Beis Hamit Mechayim. So Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina is telling us there's nothing for it to be mukshar with. Since we have a braisa over here, which is according to everybody, we have to make it work. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, anyway, being an amora, can't contradict the braisa. So according to him, then. So if the mashke basement b'chaya are not even machshir the kabel truma, then you're back to the question: what is being machshir this meat? The Ela de Iskasha b'chibas hakodesh. Are you going to say maybe that it became mukshar l'kabel tumah using the concept of chibas hakodesh, which we talked about yesterday, which is chibas hakodesh means the preciousness of kodshim? We would say that kodshim have different rules. We say that even things that are not normally food, for example, the wood that's brought on the mizbeach, the ketodas, etc. We had a whole list of things yesterday. Those, even though they're not food, they're considered as if they were food, and they're able to become tamei. So maybe by the same token, we would say that chibas hakodesh makes it that this meat, even if it wasn't mukshal or kabel tumah, is still going to be able to become tamei. So maybe we would say that. There is, by the way, there is some discussion. If we say chibas hakodesh, fine. We talked about yesterday, Rashi and Tosfos argue on the question whether chibas hakodesh itself is daraisa or derabanan. Regardless, whether we say it's daraisa or derabanan, on top of that, there's a different question whether that would say that the thing has to be mukshar or not. Maybe we would argue that, for example, when it comes to wood, if chibas hakodesh makes it that it's considered as if it was food, maybe it doesn't even need hechshir l'kabel tumah. But maybe it does. Maybe we would say, fine, it can be considered food, but it still can't be stronger than food. It would still need hechshir l'kabel tumah. Be that as it may, if you're going to say that the meat over here is considered is able to become tamei from the needle, even though there was no actual hechsher by virtue of chibas hakodesh, the problem with that is emu demahanyu lechibas hakodesh leifsule gufei. You can say, fine, chibas hakodesh makes it that the object itself becomes posel. But lemimne beirishin v'sheni nami. Do we say that we should count that it should be able to be metame other things, that it became a rishin l'tumah and it's able to create a sheni l'tumah and so forth? The whole point is we said the meat is tome. Now tome again means not posel. If we just meant the meat itself is tome but not metame anything else, we would have used the expression abasa posel. Good morning, Ellie. The fact that we say habosu tome implies that it's metame something else. So it means if we're going to say that this meat is becoming tome by chibas hakodesh, not only it itself is becoming tome, but it's able to be metame something else. If we're going to say that, tifshet deboi Rish Lakish, then we should be able to answer a question that Rish Lakish asks in a different sugya. There's a long sugya about these dinim of Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara in Chulin. A lot of the issues that we deal with over here are also dealt with over there. And Rish Lakish asks, deboi Rish Lakish, tsorid shamanachas, the dry part of a korban mincha. Now, a korban mincha is flour and it's mixed with oil. So let's say, for example, you have a dry part of it where no oil touched the flour. Monin b'rishin b'sheni oloi. Do we say, if that becomes tamei, do we say that then it's able to be metamei something else? Do we count that that's a rishin and something else that touches is a sheni and so forth? The fact that, so Rish Lakish asks the question, Now, on what grounds would that sort of Shomanochas be able to become Tomei? On the face of it, also Chibas HaKodesh. And yet, Rish Lakish asks the question, and we don't use our Braisa over here that mentions that the meat is Tomei without a Hechsher as a proof for that, showing, in other words, therefore, that we can't say the meat is Mukhsher because of that, because Chibas HaKodesh. The question is, by the way, Tosfos discusses over there in Cholin, we learned yesterday about the concept of Tziruf Kli, that if you have different foods together in one Keli, when it comes to Kodshim, we said, discussion whether it was Daraisa or Darabanan, but if one of them becomes Tomei, all of them become Tomei. So in that case, what are we even asking about the Tzored Shomanachos? Don't you have, if some of the Mincha is Mukhsher with the oil that's mixed in with it, shouldn't all of it be? There's a few different answers. Maybe, in fact, that concept of tziruf only applies to tuma, not to hechsher. You could answer that we're talking about over here about the part of the korban mincha, maybe that sticks up above the rim of the container. And then Tosfos themselves gives another answer over there that we could be talking about a korban mincha that doesn't get mixed with oil in the first place. You have certain kinds of korban mincha, the kind that a person brings for a korban olav yored, the kind that a soita brings, where no oil is mixed in bichlal, so then there's no oil to talk about. Be that as it may, anyway, getting back to, so again, why is the meat of this korban becoming tomei from the needle? Can't be because of the blood of the kodshim, because that's not machshir. Can't be mashke basement b'chaya, because Rabbi Yosi b'chanina says those are not machshir the kabal tumah. Can't be chibas hakodesh, because then that would answer the question whether chibas hakodesh is metame other things, causes the thing that became tame to be metame other things. And we see that in a different gemara, we don't use that as an answer. Tosfos, by the way, points out, if you say that chibas hakodesh allows, if you were to say that it allows it to be metame other things, then what's the relevance of saying anyway that the mashke basement machaya are not metame and not machshu or anything else? What's the difference? Even without that, we're saying chibas hakodesh itself might allow tumah to spread from one thing to another. So Tosfos points out that there are things that you bring into the azara where you don't have chibas hakodesh. One of them is bikurim. Even though bikurim are a certain degree of kedusha, and you give them to the kohenim, they're not the degree of kedusha of a korban, and therefore chibas hakodesh wouldn't apply to them. Another possibility Tosfos says is you find that even though that usually you don't bring cholin into the azara, but the kohenim are allowed to bring cholin in order to eat together with their kodshim. They have to eat the kodshim ala soiva, like we're going to discuss later in the Masechta, as far as the korban Pesach, which is why nowadays we have the Suda and then the Afikoman. So they're allowed to bring in cholin for that purpose. Obviously, that cholin, you don't have chibas hakodesh. For that, you would need regular hechsher, the kabal tuma, and for that, we say that the mashke basement b'chaya don't do that. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, the point is, so we're still trying to figure out why is this meat mukhsher lekabel tumah such that we say that the needle that you found inside it is metameh. The answer is Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Kugan Choyis a Porosh al Zivchei Shlomim. Suppose that it was a cow of Shlomim, the Hevira Banahar, he brought it through the river, he had it course through the river. Now, why would he have it do that? Rashi says two reasons. One is, Rashi just says one big reason. Rashi is kind of combining together two reasons into one. Having an animal walk through water or having it drink water is good to make it that it's easier to strip off the skin. Ellie, you mentioned that point yesterday, that you give an animal to drink before you shecht it, and it makes it easier to strip off the skin. Although there's a different explanation that Rishonim say that it makes it that certain sirchas come off more easily. Be that as it may, here we're talking according to the thing of the skin. So then taking it through the river before it's shechted accomplishes the same thing. Rashi also says the vort is by a shlomim specifically, since the owner gets to keep the meat and the skin, he wants to make it that it should be easier to take the skin off. So therefore he brings it through a river on the way. There's a different explanation. There's a different explanation also that what it is just the animal, as it's walking around, it gets dirty, it gets dusty and whatever. So therefore you bring it through the river in order that afterwards it should look nice. Its legs and its feet should be clean before you bring them into the Azara. Whatever the case, you bring it through the river. and then v'shochta, then you bring it to the Beis Hamikdash and shecht it. V'adayin mashka tefeyach aleha, and at the time you shecht it, you still have enough of that mashka that's dripping on it, that's wet enough to drip. Tefeyach amanas lapiach, and then inevitably some of it is going to fall on the meat when you're stripping off the skin. Or there's another possibility, maybe even if it doesn't fall on the meat directly, it falls on the skin. But the skin, Tosfos says that the skin being attached to the meat, it's called a yad. It's called like a thing that you handle the meat with, or rather, not so much a yad, but a shomer. A shomer, it protects the meat from spoiling so fast when you have the skin on it, and a shomer is considered part of the food. The same way, for example, as let's say if you have, say for example, you have an orange, and then liquid falls on the outside on the orange peel, then it's machshir the whole fruit lekabel tumah, even though the flesh of the orange is hidden inside the peel, because the peel is a shomer. Here it would be the same thing. If the water gets on the skin, yeah, as long as the animal is alive, obviously it can't be mukshar lekabel tumah. But the point is, when you shecht it, some of that water is still there. It hasn't dried up yet, let's say, from the outside, yeah. So therefore, Satosva says that would be reason enough to be metame the meat, because the skin is a shomer for the meat.
Now, we saw this point in Zvachim, right?
What? Where shomer and yad are actually talked about in Cholin. But yeah. I mean, it probably touches on in Zvachim as well, but the main sugya about Shomer and Yad and all that is in the ninth parak of Cholin, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this that we're saying, by the way, that we mentioned this case where it's a Shlomim, and Rashi is saying the reason why we specify a Shlomim is because the owner wants the meat and the skin to be nice, and it's easier to strip off the skin, and so forth. The Tzoyz HaChoshen mentions an interesting idea. He says another reason why we might be specifying Shlomim. Because after all, we know one of the rules of Hechshel Kabel Tumah, it has to be Birtsoin HaBailim. It has to be that the owner wants the wetness to be on there. Now, in the case of Kodshe Kodshim, therefore, not necessarily would we say once you shecht the animal, who does it belong to? It belongs to Hekdesh. It still belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. You can't necessarily say there's a Ritzon HaBailim over there. As opposed to a Shlomim, there is at least an opinion that after you shecht the Shlomim and sprinkle the blood, after that, the meat of it is considered Mom and Bailim. It's Macholik, this in several places in Shas. If we say that Kodshim Kalam after the Shechita and Zrika are considered Mom and Bailim, there you go. Then you have the owner of the korban wants it to become wet. And therefore it's mukhshav, as opposed to by kodshe kodshim, maybe you wouldn't say that. Although different other achronim talk about that not necessarily is it so. Maybe hektish it's considered the owner. Yeah. Well, that's true, but that's... Well, of course, yeah, but that's not the same thing. Of course, you want it to be as nice as possible. That's not necessarily, according to the Ketzoyz, that's not necessarily the same thing as saying that Hekdesh is actually has a rotzen that you should say that. Therefore, you want the meat to be nice and clean, and you want the skin to be you want the skin to strip off easier, etc. Okay, fine. So that's the answer. Therefore, is how is this meat becoming mukshal kabel tumah? Because we're talking about there was water on it that's not mashke beis mikdashaya, because you let it through a river on the way to the beis mikdash in order to wash it off, to make the skin easier to strip off, etc. And therefore, that water is still there when you shecht it. Well, that's what we're talking about. If they shecht it right away, obviously, if it dried, obviously, if the water, as we said, the vadain mashke tefeach aleha, that there's still water that's dripping on it. Yeah. Next, we said in the Braisa, Nimtzis bepedesh akol tohor. We said if you find the needle in the animal's waist, then all of it is tohor, then everything is tohor, including the meat. So the question is why? Vinehada perish vinetamula baser. Why doesn't the waist, at this point, we assume that the waist is still sort of liquidy. After all, you just gave the animal a drink. Yeah, again, you just gave the animal a drink before you shechted it. So Bapashtus, there's still some liquid over there. And therefore, that should be metame the meat. So Rav Adar Bar Ava says you're talking about over here, but thick dung, where therefore there's no mashke in it. So therefore, there's nothing to be mashke. Rav Ashi Yomafilo Tema Perish Raka. Rav Ashi says you don't even need that. Even if it's soft, loose perish, it's still not. Because as we said the other day, Mishum to have a mashka saruach, because it's a filthy liquid, and such a thing is not mashka the kabal truma. In order for it to be mashka the kabal, the other day we said Now, that's true as far as it becoming tummy or staying tummy. We have the case of the part of the we have the case of the cow that drank part of adruma water, where we said it's botlo b'me'eha, and Rav Ashi had given the same reason. It's mashkas ruach. So there we're talking about it was at one point drinkable, and now it's not. Now we're talking about where it's not drinkable in the first place because it's part of the perish. So the same thing as well, there we're talking about as far as tumah, here we're talking about as far as hechsher, same difference. The point is that mashka saruach is not mashal kabal tumah either. Okay. And therefore, so well, that's the thing. So therefore, this peresh, therefore, is not able to be machshu the meat by touching it. Well, it does touch it. It touches the inside of the intestines, and everything is all connected together. But because it's mashka saruach, therefore, it's not machshu. Okay. If the needle touches, yeah, well, maybe. Okay. Fine. Toni Tana Kamedit of Sheshes. Okay, since we're talking about, so now the Gemara is going to finish off with a couple of different dinim, with a couple of different sort of miscellaneous dinim involving Tum of Atara that are going to deal with topics that we talked about before about foods being, about what foods can be metame, what drinks can be metame, what kalim can be metame, etc. So Toni Tana Kamedit of Sheshes. A Tana taught a Braise in front of Rav Sheshes. Sheretz metame es hamashkin. A sheretz is able to make liquids tame. Umashkin metame es hakli. In turn, those mashkim will be metame a keli, which would be like what we said the other day is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion before he changed his mind, which the Gemara is going to now ask how we have a Braise like that. No, they're dead. Live sheretz is never. No live thing is metame except a human being. So we're talking about dead sheretz. So a dead sheretz touches liquid, it's metame, it makes it a rishon. That is metame a keli, which makes it metame a keli. The keli metame is a oichlin, which in turn is metame food. The oichlin metame is a mashkim, and food is metame a mashkim. The lamadnu sholosh tumas b'sheretz. So therefore, the Braisa says, so we learn three levels of tumah that come. We learn three levels of tumah that come from a sheretz. We had the other day. We had Rabbi Akiva's opinion that even by cholin you could have a shlishi. So Rashi says now. Rashi says the Braisa couldn't have said that a keli is matame food, which is matame drinks. And then those drinks are matame food. Even Rabbi Akiva wouldn't hold of that because even he holds you don't go as far as a ravi. So anyway, the question is, Rav Sheshes asks him, Hani Abahein, what do you mean three things? The Braisa is saying four things. Mashkin, Keli, Oichlin, and Mashkin. And Mashkin again, yeah. So he says, Guz Mashkin Dereisha. Cut out from your Braisa the first time it says Mashkin. What it should say is that the Sheretz is Matame Keli, which is Matame food, which is Matame Mashkin. So that's actually the order in the pasuk. That's actually the order in the pasuk where the sheretz falls into a keli and is metame it, and the keli contains food, and then we said the food is metame drinks. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that works even by cholin, because again we said the other day that according to Rabbi Akiva, you have shlishi by cholin. So that way it's going according to the order of the pasuk. In fact, obviously, it could have also said a different way. It could have said that the a keli, then mashke, and then oichel. But we want to use the order of the pasuk. But in any case, take out the original mashkin. So the question is, Abed Abagoi's mashkin de sefer. Okay, you're right. We got to take out something from the braisa, because the braisa clearly says sholish tumash b'sheretz. But why are you taking out the mashkim at the beginning? Maybe take out the mashkim at the end. Say the sheretz b'sitam in mashkim, which are matame a keli, which are matame food. The answer is loy ashkechon tana da amar mashkin matamin kli elo Rabbi Yehuda. The only tana that we ever found that says that daraisa mashkim matame akeli is only Rabbi Yehuda. V'hoder be, and then changed his mind. So if you were to say that this braisa, if you were to take out the last mashkim and leave the first one, so you'd have mashkim keli and then food, then it wouldn't go according to anybody because even Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. No, that's why. So we said so. If you have keli, food, and drink, then that will work according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva holds that even by chulin, you do have a shlishi. So the keli will become a rishon, the food will become a sheni, and then that food touches drinks, and they become a shlishi. Food can be metame mashkim, and mashkim can be metame food. What we discussed back and forth, the question of who says that mashkim can be metame food daraisa, and who says not. But the Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva says more generally that a sheni can make a shlish. Which, yeah, that so we said, actually, yeah, Rabbi Akiva is one of the Tanoim who holds that mashkim can be metame food daraisa. So, yeah, it would work according to him also if you had sherets, drinks, and food. But Rabbi Yehuda is the one who changed his mind. Rabbi Yehuda, we said, originally held that mashkim can be metame even kalim daraisa, but then he changed his mind. Yeah. They both, only Rabbi Akiva holds shlishi. Rabbi Yehuda would still say, like most of the other Tanoim, that you can only go as far as sheni by cholim. So according to him, the only way you have shlishi is by teruma. Okay. The Gemara says, v'simonach, you simon to remember what the correct order in the braisa is, nazyosa, is the order of making beer. How do you have? You start with an empty keli, then you put barley into it that you're going to ferment to make the beer. And then you put in liquid in order for the barley to ferment in it. So that helps you remember, keli, food, drink. Another thing involving Tumas Sheretz, Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Kalim, Sheretz Shenimtze Batanur, if you find a dead Sheretz inside an oven, and the ovens in those days generally were made out of earthenware, so it's the usual rule of a Kli Sheretz becoming Tomei from the inside, Hapas Shebeseche Shnia, then the bread in that oven is a Sheni Latruma, Mepnesha Tanur Tchila, because the oven is a Rishon Latruma. Tchila is another word for Rishon. Well, that's what we're going to ask. Omelet of Adaba Avalarava, Venechsilahai Tanur, Commander Molly Tumadami. Why don't we consider the oven as though it's completely full of Tumah? After all, if we're saying that the oven becomes Tomei from its airspace, the Pashtus, what does it mean? It's considered as though the entire airspace of the oven is full of the Sheretz, so therefore it's actually touching the walls of the oven on the inside. And in that case, for Tehavi Hai Pas Rishona, in that case, the bread should be considered a Rishon Latumah because it touched the Sheretz. Amalei, so Rava answers, Loi Sakudaidach. You can't think that way. And we're going to prove how. In fact, by the way, we learned this Gemara in Shabbos as well, and the Gemara gave it as an example of the idea of how Torah, eventually details of Torah, are going to be forgotten, and we're going to need clarity on them. We have this example over here, where Rabbi Adaba Ava mistakenly thinks that the whole oven should be considered full of Tumah, and therefore that the bread should be a Rishon, when in fact we're going to prove that it's not so. But in other words, the idea is there would have been a time when such a, I guess the Gemara is saying over there in Shabbos, there would have been a time in Jewish history when such a question was unthinkable because everybody knew all the details. Anyway, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Yochu Yehu Kola Kalim Mitamin Ma'avik Klicheres. You would think that what if you had other Kalim inside this Klicheres? What if you had wooden Kalim or pieces of clothing or whatever, other kinds of Kalim, or metal Kalim, things that can be dipped in a mikveh? They're called klei shetef, where they can be washed when dipped in a mikveh. Shetef means washed, yeah. So you would think that all those kalim become tamei from the airspace of a kli cheres. Remember, other kalim don't become tamei from their inside like a kli cheres. Other kalim become tamei when tumah touches them from the outside. Inside or outside, but the point is not the airspace. If, for example, if you have a metal keli and a sheretz is hanging inside it, nothing happens. Only if it touches the actual body of the keli, inside or outside, yeah. So now you would think that, again, if this oven has a sheretz in it, you should consider, again, if the sheretz was completely filling up the oven, that it's touching one of these other kalim on the outside or on the inside, as the case may be, and therefore it should become tamei. We don't say that. Talmud Loma, therefore the Pasuk says, Kol asher b'seicha yitma, the Pasuk says anything inside the oven becomes tamei when the sheretz falls in. V'samach lemi kol ha'oichel, but then the next Pasuk continues, any food, which comes to teach you, when we say anything that's in the oven, we mean only as far as foods. Oichel metamei ma'avik klicheres, only food becomes tamei from the airspace of a klicheres. V'ein kol ha'kelim metamei ma'avik klicheres, but other kelim do not. So therefore, in other words, so now if we said that the sheretz is considered to completely fill up the oven, then yes, the other kalim would become tamei because the sheretz would be touching them. The fact that we don't say that shows that we don't consider the sheretz to be filling up the whole oven. We say what it is that kli cheretz is becoming tamei from the fact that the sheretz is in its airspace. That doesn't mean that it's touching that we consider as though it's touching the actual kli cheretz. That's what it means. It means it's touching the airspace of the kli cheretz. But that's enough to be metamei. So therefore the kli cheretz becomes a rishon. But we don't say that. It's as if the sheretz is filling up the whole oven. Well, that's what the point. We don't, because gzeres hakasev, because the pasuk is saying kol asher b'seicha yitma mikol ha'oichel. In other words, In other words, the question is like this. There's two ways of thinking how a sheretz is metame an oven from the inside. One of them is to think that the sheretz is considered as though it completely fills up the oven. So therefore, it is actually touching the walls, the inside walls of the kli cheretz. So Rava is telling, then in that case, then anything that's in that oven would become a rishon as well, because the sheretz is touching it directly. Rava is telling us from this braisa that no, the correct way of understanding it is the sheretz is being metame the air, and the air to that extent is considered part of the kli cheretz. Therefore, the kli cheretz becomes tame from it, but it's not physically touching. It's not actually touching anything. It's not actually touching the kli cheretz itself or anything in it. Therefore, they only become tame from the kli cheretz, and therefore they become a sheni.
Where do we get that from?
The kli cheretz is a rishon. The food becomes a sheni. Yeah.
Where do we get that from?
We get that from, we just said, because it says kol asher b'secha yitma mikol ha'oichel. Anything that's inside that oven becomes tameh, but only if that something is food, implying not kalim. Now, if we said the first possibility, if we said that the sheretz is considered to fill up the entire oven, then there's no reason those kalim wouldn't become tameh. You had a sheretz touch them. The fact that we don't say that, the fact that the pasuk is telling us that the kalim don't become tameh, can only be because it's not the kli cheretz itself that's considered to have been touched by the sheretz. It's the airspace of it, but the airspace automatically is metameh the kli cheretz even without the sheretz actually touching the kli cheretz.
But do we say or we don't say that the whole air within the kli is tameh?
One second, Avraham Moshe. What? We know that by a kli cheretz, the airspace makes it tame. What we're saying is, we thought that how is it tame? It can't just be the air becomes tame and automatically the keli becomes tame. Rav Adaba Ava thought maybe what it is the air is considered to be filled up with tuma and therefore it touches the kli cheretz. And Rava is telling him, no, that's not what it means. The tuma is in the air, but that air itself is enough to be metame the kli cheretz. And makes the kli cheretz a rishon. The food then becomes a sheni. The food is not touching the sheretz. That's the point. The food is touching the kli cheretz. The food is touching the air as well, but that doesn't matter. The air only has all the air is accomplishing is it's making the kli cheretz a rishon. Yeah. So what are we asking of him, Moshe?
So when it says shibat b'seiche, it means anything that's inside the keli, not the keli itself. That's why we understand it.
The keli itself is becoming a rishon. But yeah, anything that's in the keli is becoming a rishon. But any food that's inside it is becoming a sheni. That's the point. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I mean, there is a vort on this. I think I've seen from the Kotzker that the idea is why indeed does a kli cheretz become tame from its airspace? Because when you get down to it, a kli cheretz, the only unlike other kalim where the material of the keli has some value, a kli cheretz really the actual material of it has no intrinsic value. It's only valuable as a container. Therefore, it makes sense that the air of it is what's metame it. And he says, you can learn from this to a person. The important thing about a person is the air, is the neshama that's inside them rather than their body.
Well, by that logic, you could say the air is even worth less than the keli. I don't see the point.
No, the air is not worth less than the keli. The air is, in effect, what we're saying is the air is the keli. We're saying the air is the keli, but we're saying, on the other hand, the air only has the ability to be metame the keli. It does not have the ability to be metame anything else that is touching that air. Again, if we said mole tuma, if we said that air was considered to be completely filled with tuma, then anything that's touching that air would become tame. We don't say that. We say the air only has the ability to be metame the keli, which the air is inside, but nothing else that is touching that air inside the keli. This is only by kli cheretz, right? Okay.
What difference would it make if we said instead of the air making what's inside the keli tummy, the keli itself is making it tummy? They would still both become a sheni.
The fact is there is no difference. That's what we're saying. The air cannot be metame anything other than the keli. If we said that it was mole tuma, if we said the air was considered to be full of tuma, then we would say then the food that was in there would become a rishon. Like this, we don't do that, and we say it becomes a sheni because it's being tame only through the keli. That's the point.
Uh-huh.
So now continuing on Tumah V'Tahara, now we're finally getting back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, again, let's recap. We had I know it was a week ago. It's a week ago. It's hard to remember. But we had Rav Chanina Sgan HaKohenim telling us that you can burn together kodshim that were tomei from an Ava Tumah with kodshim that are tomei from a Vlada Tumah. And we discussed a couple of possibilities, what we mean by Vlada Tumah over here, whether it means that it was tomei from Mashkim, which maybe therefore was only Dirabanan, whether it was tomei as a Shlishi Latuma and you're burning it together with a Rishon Latuma. Then we had Rabbi Akiva saying, by the same token, you can burn oil of truma, which is posel, which is a shlishi, in a lamp, which is tmei mes, which we said the lamp itself is an avatoma, even though you're bringing it up two levels and making it a rishon latruma. And then Rabbi Meir had said, based on that, we can learn also that you can burn truma tahora with truma tmeya on erev Pesach. And Rabbi Yossi had disagreed, and Rabbi Yossi had gone on to say that neither Rabbi Eliezer nor Rabbi Yeshua would agree with that concept. When it comes to truma, they would say that there would be a machloikas as far as truma tluya, where it's suspended, where we don't know if it's tamei or tahor, whether you can burn it together with tmeya, but to say tahora with tmeya, Rabbi Yossi says nobody would say you could do that. So now let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rav Chista Rami Pischa Apischa. Rav Chista pointed out a contradiction between two statements regarding Pesach or Mashani, and then he pointed out how to reconcile them. The question is, Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Shtein Kachas? Did Rabbi Yeshua really say that when you have Truma Tluya and Truma Tmeya, you could burn them together on Erev Pesach, as Rabbi Yossi is saying, that only by Tahora and Tmeya would Rabbi Yeshua not allow it, but he would allow it by Tluya and Tmeya? Or a minu, but I have a contradiction because a Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Einad Nidin Domel Araya, we learned this near the beginning of the Sugya, that Rabbi Yossi, when he's arguing on Rabbi Meir, he says the case in the Mishnah is not similar to the case that you're dealing with as far as Truma is not similar to the Raya that you want to bring from what Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva says. She'idu Rabbi Seinu, because when all Rabbeim, when Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva gave their Edus, al Mahe Idu, what was the case that they were giving Edus about? You're going to say you're going to prove it from Rav Chanina's case about burning together kodshim with other kodshim, which one is more tamei and the other is less tamei. Okay, zet tamei v'zet tamei. The fact is they're both tamei. It's different degrees of tuma, and maybe one of them is only tamei d'rabbanan, but still it is, they're both tamei. So that's not a proof to burning together tahora with tamei. And imal hashemen shenifsa b'tvur yoyim shemadlikin oise b'ner shenitma b'tmei mes, are you going to prove it from Rabbi Akiva's case where you're taking oil of truma that became posel by tvur yoyim touching it and burning it in a lamp that's a tamei mes, which we said the lamp is a metal lamp and cherev hareu kecholo, it's an avatoma. Also no proof. Ze posel v'ze tamei, because there the oil is posel, the lamp is tamei. Fine, says Rabbi Yossi. Af anu moedim b'truma shenitmas b'vlada truma. So fine, we have no problem agreeing with if truma becomes tamei with a vlada truma. Shasofinosim truma truma shenitmas ma'ava truma. That you should be able to burn it together with truma, which became tamei with an ava truma. So shlishi together with rishon. Sure, that I have no problem with that. Aval heyach nisrif afilu tluya matmeya. But you, Rabbi Meir, are talking about burning together tahora with tmeya. I say, never mind tahora. Even tluya, how could you be burning it with tmeya? Tluya, after all, is a suffix. Is it tamei? Is it not? Shema yoveh eliyahu v'yitarim. After all, eliyahu, anovi, might come and tell us that it's tahor, after all. Now, when we learned this the other day, we said Rabbi Meir had said eliyahu is not going to come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. But the point, because we're now Torah, because everybody's busy getting ready for Shabbos, we talked about the idea that the Jewish people will gladly be moichel on that tircha, and the Rebbe also said once in a sikha, I don't think I mentioned it then, but somebody reminded me of it afterwards, that yeah, I mean, if he does come on Erev Shabbos, then fine, that'll just be another one of the questions that Elio will have to answer afterwards. Anyway, the point is, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Right. Well, that's, yeah. Anyway, the point is Rabbi Yossi is telling us you can't burn truma tluya with truma tahora, because the tluya with truma tmeya rather, because the tluya might really be tahor, and then you're putting together tahor with tamei, and you mean matame truma tahora, which you're not allowed to do. On the other hand, in the Mishnah, so that was in the Braisa. In the Mishnah, on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi had said that you could do that. He said Rabbi Yeshua said you could brew Tluya with Tmeya. He just wouldn't allow you to brew Tehoda with Tmeya, like Rav Meir is saying. So that was the contradiction. Umashani and Rav Chista then answered the question, Harab Shimon val libid Rav Yehuda, Harab Yosi val libid Rav Yeshua. There was two different opinions of Tanoim within what Rav Yeshua says. Now, the problem the Gemara is going to ask soon is, both in the Mishnah and in the Braise, it's Rav Yosi speaking, so how are we attributing one of them to Rav Shimon? We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's deal with where we see those opinions. Jitanya, Yud Dalet Shechalias B'Shabbos, if the 14th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, like it will this year, Mevaren Esako Malifnei Shabbos, then you have to destroy all the chametz before Shabbos. V'Sofin Trumas Tmeyas Tluyas Tehodas, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says you burn together all the truma, whether it's Tomei, whether it's Toloi, whether it's Tahor, because again, Rav Meir had said in the Mishnah, you could burn them all together. Rabbi Yossi says no. Tehoda b'fnei atzma, or Tluya b'fnei atzma, or Tmeya b'fnei atzma. Now, by the way, keep in mind, here we're talking, it's on Erev Shabbos Yud Gimel Nissen. It's long before Chametz becomes Aser. But that's fine, because we said the other day in the Gemara that Rabbi Meir would allow it even before the sixth hour, because eventually it's going to go le'ibud anyway. Right now, it's still mutter to eat, but the fact is it is going to eventually become Aser if it's not eaten, and you already looked for people to eat it, and you couldn't find, so therefore Rav Meir is fine with you burning it together. But Rav Yosi is saying that not. Rav Yosi, a tahoda b'fnei atzma, or tluya b'fnei atzma, or tmeya b'fnei atzma. Each kind has to be burned separately, because you can't burn the tahoda with the tmeya, because then you're going to be tamei. You can't burn the tluya with the tmeya. You can't burn the tluya with the tmeya, because it might be tahor, and then you're being tamei unnecessarily. You can't burn the tluya with the tahoda. Same reason, the tluya might be tamei, and then you're being metame the Torah. So you have to burn each group separately, says Rabbi Yossi. And the Braisa continues, Amar Rabbi Shimon. So now, however, Rabbi Shimon says, Lo nechluku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua ala tahor of ala tmeya. It's true, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua do not disagree as far as tahor and tamei. She ain't surfing, that you can't burn them together, because then you're going to be metame the tahor biadayim when you put them together. But on the other hand, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that you could burn Truma Tluya together with Truma Tehoda. We're not concerned about the possibility that the Truma Tluya might actually be Tomei, because after all, there's no Chazaka of Tuma in it, so it doesn't really have the appearance of being Matame, the Truma Tehoda B'Yadayim. Alma Nechluku, says Rabbi Shimon, what is the case they're arguing? Ala Tluya, Ala Tmeya, only when you have Tluya together with Tmeya. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer to Sodaf, Zuba Atma, Zuba Atma. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to burn them separately, because you have the Tmeya has known to be Tomei, it has a Chazaka of being Tuma, of being Tomei. The Tehoda, not the Tehoda, the Tluya doesn't have a chazak on it. It may actually be tahor. And then if you burn it together, then you're actually being matame. Then you're being matame. We learned earlier, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing within what it says in a pasuk, that you have the shmeres trumois sai, that you have to guard the guarding of my trumois. So does that mean two types of truma, the kind that's definitely tahor and the type that's suffic tahor? Or does it mean only one type? Because after all, the letters in the pasuk are trumasi rather than trumoisai, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua can understand it to mean only one type, Torah. Anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, you have to burn the Tluya and the Tmeya separately. Rabbi Yeshua says you can burn them together, because once it's Tluya, you don't have a chiyuv to guard it and make sure it doesn't become Tomei. So we see that Rav Shimon holds that you could burn that you could burn Tluya and Tmeya together. You're allowed to burn Tluya and Tehoda together according to everybody. You're also allowed to burn Tluya and Tmeya together according to Rabbi Yeshua. So fine, that's what it says. That's basically what Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Mishnah. So the question is, how do we attribute that to Rabbi Shimon? V'amasnissin Rabbi Yossi. In our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yossi speaking, not Rabbi Shimon. The answer is Hachikamer, Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Meir. It means Rabbi Yossi is telling Rabbi Meir, I myself would hold that actually you have to burn each one separately. But a filler Reb Shimon, by a libid Reb Yeshua, the Makel, even Reb Shimon's understanding of Reb Yeshua, which is the most lenient out of all the possible understandings of Reb Yeshua, he Makel with Tluya or Tmeya. Even he is only Makel with Tluya and Tmeya, Alva with Tahoda or Tmeya Loi. Even he says that you can't burn Tahoda with Tmeya like you, the mayor, want to say. So that's what it is then. So in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi is saying even Reb Shimon wouldn't allow what you're saying, Reb Meir. And in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi gives his own opinion that actually I say that Rabbi Yeshua says you can't even burn Tluya with Tahoda. You have to burn each one in a separate pile. Okay. So that reconciles that. Next, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina Romi Truma Apischa. Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina pointed out a contradiction between a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas and our Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim, or Mishani, and then he also showed what the answer is. The question was, Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Shtein Kachas? How could we say that Rabbi Yeshua says you're allowed to burn Tluya together with Tmeya at once, even though you might be Matame, even though the Tluya might actually be Tahur, and then you're Matame it? Uraminu, I have a contradiction. We learned this previously. Chavis shel truma shenolad basafik truma. If you have a barrel of truma where there's a safik truma developed in it, for example, so Rashi had said over there, for example, we're not sure if a tamei person touched it, which Tosfos had said over there, then you just look at whether it's Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, because then Safik Tumah Rishus HaYachid would be Tomei, Safik Tumah Rishus HaRabim would be Tahor. So Tosfos had said over there, rather that we're talking about, let's say you had two barrels, and we know he touched one of them, and we don't know which one. Whatever the case, you have now a suffix on it. Rabbi Eliezer says, if it was in an exposed area, trupa means exposed, or it means hefker, or whatever, so it's in an area where it could end up, it's more likely for it to become tameh. You're obligated to put it in a more concealed place and reduce the chance of it actually becoming tamei for sure. Vim hois magula, and if it was uncovered and a sheretz or something might fall into it, yichasena, then you're obligated to cover it. Because again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have a chiyuv of bishmeres trumoi sai, whether it's definitely tahor or whether it's tolui. So even though it's tolui, you can't eat it or drink it. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says the pasuk is telling you still have a mitzvah to guard it. Rabbi Yeshua says the other way around. If it was in a concealed place, then you can put it in an exposed place and make it more likely for it to become tamei. In fact, elsewhere, Rashi says that it means not only you could, but you should, because then you're making it more likely that it will become tamei vadai, and then you'll be able to use it as you use truma tamei. So you should do that. Or at least, you could do that, or maybe even you should do that. If it was covered, you can uncover it. Same idea. In other words, because again, Rabbi Yeshua holds that the din of Mishmeres Trumaisai only applies to Truma Tahora, not to Truma Tluya. In any case, the point is, Groma ain't be a daim loy. So we see there, Rabbi Yeshua is not allowing you to be tame the Tluya directly. He's not allowing you to take a sheretz and touch it to it. He's just saying you can uncover it, you can put it outside, and it's more likely that it'll become tame, but not to be a tame be a daim. So how are we saying here that he's allowing you to burn Truma Tluya together with Truma Tmeya, where you're tame be a daim? Or Mashani, and then Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina answered, Harab Shimon Alibid Reb Yeshua, Harab Yossi Alibid Reb Yeshua. Again, our Mishnah in Pesachim is going according to Reb Shimon's understanding of Reb Yeshua, who says that you could do that, even be a daim, whereas the Mishnah in Trumas is going according to Reb Yossi's understanding of Reb Yeshua, who wouldn't allow you to burn them together. At a Pesach, the maximum he would allow you to do is to do a grumma that may cause it to become tummy. Right. Okay. Next. Rabbi Lazar Rami Truma Atruma Mashani. Then Rabbi Lazar pointed out you have a contradiction between two Mishnayos and Masechta Truma regarding Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Umashani, and then he answered it. The question is, Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Groma Ein Biyadayim Loi. So you're telling me, according to the Mishnah in Trumas, that Rabbi Yeshua is only, which we said is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yeshua is only allowing a Groma. He's not allowing you to be Matame Truma Biyadayim. Uraminu, but we have a contradiction. Another Mishnah says, we also learned it previously, Chobis shel truma shenishbara b'gas hel yona. If a barrel of truma breaks in the upper part of the wine press, where you're pressing the grapes, and below in the lower part of the press where all the juice is going to flow into is chulin tmeim, and if the truma lands in there, then the whole thing is going to be also to drink at all, because now it's going to be truma tmeya, and even kohenim and kohenim, nobody is allowed to eat or drink truma tmeya. So the Mishnah says, Moide Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua do both agree on a certain basic thing. She'im yochol lahatzim men revias patara. If there's enough time to go and get kalim, that are people that are tahor, and save at least the revias of the wine of truma and keep it tahor, yatzil, then you're obligated to do that. Even though meanwhile that means the rest of the wine is flowing down into the lower one and becoming and making it osur. But since you're able to save a revias patara, then you're obligated to do that. The imlav, if you can't even do that, it's going to take too long to get kalim. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a tater to tame, va'ayu tamen abiyad. Rabbi Eliezer says, even then, you still have to let it flow down and become tame and become osir, but not be matame biyadayim by using kalim that are tame or your own bare hands which are tame. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a tamen abiyad. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says, you can be matame it by hand. So we see, by trying to catch it, right, with your bare hands or with kalim that are tame. So we see that Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you to cause tumah to cholin directly. Why are we saying before in the previous case about the barrel, which is Suffolk Tomei, that Rabbi Yeshua is only allowing you to put it outside and uncover it, but not be metame at Biyadayim? What you're gaining is that this wine of Truma is not going down into the lower gas. Right now, then what you'll be left with, in the lower gas, you'll have Chulin Tmeim. Fine, a person is allowed to eat Chulin, which are Tmei. A person could eat them when they're Tmei anyway. But like this, if it became Truma Tmeya, it would be also for everybody to drink. So that's you're gaining, you're saving the cholin on bottom, right. So that was the question. Umashani and Rabbi Lazar answered, Shiny Hosim Deika Hefsid Cholin. The difference is over there, because you're talking not just about the truma, you're talking about the cholin is going to get lost. So for the sake of that, for that hefsid, he's gonna allow you to be matame the truma. Maskiflod Rava, however, Rava asked, Masnisin Nami Ika Hefsid Eitzim. New and in our Mishnah here in Pesachim, if you have to burn the Truma Tloya and Tahora and Tmeya separately, then you need more wood. Three different piles, and that's also a hefsid. Abaye answers, the difference is la hefsid meruba choshu. The chachamim are choshish for a hefsid meruba. La hefsid muat like choshu. They're not concerned about a small hefsid. A large hefsid, we're going to lose an entire vat full of wine, which is going to become truma tmeya, and you can't do anything with it. Is different than a minor hefsid that you're going to have to use a little extra firewood. This is, by the way, we have many places in halacha that Ramah in fact makes it almost a klal in halacha. That you have that many times we say that something is mutter where there's a hefsid merubah. In the halachas of kashrus, for example, it's based on this gemara and similar gemaras that mention this concept of hefsid merubah. Yeah. Okay. So the gemara says, "Umenot tamer the lahefsid merubah choshu or lahefsid muat lechoshu." Where do you see this distinction that we're concerned about a hefsid merubah but not a hefsid muat? So the Tanya, Chavis Shal Shemen Truma Shenishbur Begasa Al Yoyna. What if instead of wine, what if we're dealing with a barrel of oil of Truma that broke in the upper gas? Over Tachton Cholent Tmein, and then in the bottom you have Cholent Tmein. Moider Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. So then Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Rabbi Yeshua. Sheim Yochol Lahatzim Men Revias Batara Yatzil. That again, if you're able to save a revias of it in Tara, for sure you have to save that, even though the rest of it is going to flow down. V'im lav, and if not, Rabbi Eliezer also agrees with Rabbi Yeshua. Teder v'titame v'al yitam en abiyad. Let it all flow down rather than being matame it by hand. At the very end, in the last couple of lines of the parak, which we'll learn Motzei Shabbos, Bez Hashem, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing with Rabbi Yeshua? It should be the other way around. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's machmir even by wine. Now you should have Rabbi Yeshua is agreeing with that Chumra. We should say Rabbi Yeshua is agreeing to Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll get to that point later on. But anyway, the point is that everybody agrees in that case that you let it flow down. Now, what's the difference? Maishno shemen. So that's the difference. The difference is maishno shemen. So the difference is, why is it different by oil? Because the roi lahadlik. Because you don't really have a hefsid merubah. If the oil becomes tomei, fine, you can't use it for drinking, you can't use it for salad dressing or whatever, but you can use it to light a lamp with, because you're allowed to use truma tmeya to light a lamp, as we've said before. In those days they did. So therefore, it's not a hefsid merubah, it's only a hefsid muat, that instead of being able to eat and drink it, you're going to have to use it for that. As opposed to, so the question is, yayin nami roi lazilof. What about, though, when it comes to wine, you could say there's also, if you can't drink the wine, but you could use it to sprinkle around your house, like as an air freshener, to give the house a nice fragrance. So you might answer that zilof is not considered something so important, and therefore you have a huge loss of the wine because you can't do because zilof is not really a it's not really a very important usage of wine. No, when it comes to drinking wine, be willing to drink wine where they sell a lug of it for a seller, or mezalfin milug b'shtayim. But when it comes to sprinkling around your house, there you should use the better quality wine. Use the wine that's sold for two lugim for a seller. So we see, in other words, that ziluf is something important, and it is something, a valuable use of wine. So why do we say then there's a hefsid? The answer is b'chodesh. Okay, but we're talking about it's new wine, so it doesn't have a fragrance yet. So therefore, it's not going to do any good for ziluf. The question is, so what? You could age that wine. You could keep it around until it ferments, and then it has a nice fragrance and use that. The problem is, the problem is, meanwhile, you're going to come to Takola. You may forget that it's tame, and you're going to drink it. So the question is, shemen nami osibili de takola. New, can't you say the same thing with oil? If you have to use it for lighting, it's going to take a while to use up. Meanwhile, you may drink it. The answer is there with oil, you can fix it up. What you do is, meanwhile, you put the oil into a dirty container. So nobody then is going to use oil from that to drink. That itself will remind you that it's tame and you're supposed to use it only for lighting. So what about yayin nami romi lebeklimos? What about wine? You could do the same thing and then let it age. The answer is you can't. Zilof kabayle, the whole point is you want it for its fragrance in order to sprinkle around the room. The klimos romi le, you're not going to put it in a dirty container. That'll defeat the whole purpose. Then it won't have a good fragrance to be an air freshener in your house. So therefore, of necessity, wine for ziluf has to be kept in a clean container. So therefore, once you have it in a clean container, then there's the problem that you might forget and drink it. So that's the difference. In other words, the difference is, so far, what we're saying, and we're going to continue this discussion on Motzei Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, but in connection with the next daf. But actually, you know what? Let's learn a few more lines, and then, okay. So the Gemara says, for takola atzma tanoi. Actually, this question of whether takola is a significant factor, do we have to be concerned? If you keep it around, you might accidentally drink it. That itself is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. Netanya, chobis cho yayin shal truma shenikmes, if a barrel of wine of truma becomes tome, beshama imu tishofer chevel, beshama says you have to pour out the whole thing at once. Chevel actually says meloshin chavila, like as a bundle, you have to just pour it all out. You can't keep it around for ziluf because you might end up drinking it. In fact, Rashi says, even on the day itself, let's say you're going to use it for ziluf all right today. But as you're using it for ziluf, you may forget and drink some of it. And it's truma tmeya, and you can't do that. There's different understandings, by the way, of what it means. Hagoyis Habach changes the word hevel to hakol, meaning the whole thing. And then there's a different girsa, hevel, which means like right away. Anyway, the point is, Beshama is saying you have to pour out the whole thing. Or Beshillel to us is ziluf. Beshillel says you can use it for ziluf. But Amr Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, Ani Achria, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi says, I'll come up with a compromise. But Sade, if this is out in the field, Tishafach Chevel, then you should pour it right away out because there's no place in the field to be doing Ziluf. You do it in the house. And we're not going to say that you should bring it home because then you might forget and drink it on the way. But if it's in the house, then you can use it for Ziluf because then you just use it right away and you're not going to have Tarkala. The Ikadamri, a different version goes, Bechodesh Tishafach Chevel, that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi says if it's new wine, you have to pour it out right away, because like we said, to keep it around until it ages and then use it would be a problem. But Beyoshan Ta'asa Ziluf, if it's new wine, if it's old wine, then you can use Ziluf. Omrulai, so the Chum said to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, very nice, but Enachras Shlichas Machras, a third opinion cannot be a Machria. In other words, Rashi says, neither Beshamai nor Beshillel says anything about Takola at all. If Beshamai had made a distinction between the house and the field, and they said, no matter what, you have to pour it out, and Beshillel said, no matter what, you could do Ziluf, then we would see, in other words, they're both saying, we agree there might be a reason to distinguish between the house and the field, or between old and new, but we're not willing to make that distinction. We say it should be throughout. Then you could say, fine, I accept their opinion in one, but not in the other. But here, you're bringing in a whole new factor, a whole new matter of the house versus the field, or new versus the old. So therefore, you're just a third opinion, and therefore, we can't accept your opinion over Beshama and Beshillel. Tosfos actually Tosfos gets a little bit into a little bit of discussion about that. Another reason might be another reason to say that he's not a machria is that he is actually that he's a different generation. That he's a Talmud. He's not of the generation of Ishama Basil. He's a later generation. We don't necessarily say, just like we had before, we had back on Daf Yud Gimel, we had Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda disagreeing until what time you can eat chametz, and Reb Gamliel saying that you could eat Truma until the fifth hour and Cholin until the fourth hour. So that we said also, it's not a Hachra for the same reason. Reb Gamliel is, one reason is again, because neither Reb Meir nor Reb Yehuda said anything about Truma. So obviously they don't consider that a significant factor, according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, the vote would be because Reb Gamliel is a different generation. He's actually an earlier generation than them. So obviously he's not referring to what they're saying. He's saying his own independent opinion. Anyway, the point is, though, that what we do see from this is that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says that only where there's a problem of takala is there an issue. Therefore, according to him, if you can avoid the takala, you're allowed to use it for sprinkling. So they, on the other hand, Beshamai and Beshillel are saying we are concerned about takala, or actually rather, Beshamai is saying we are concerned about takala. Beshillel is saying that not. So we see that there's machloikas tanoim about the question of whether we're concerned about takala. So that's we're applying that to before when we said when we have this wine of truma that became tome, are you allowed to keep it around and do ziluf? Beshillel would say yes. Beshamai would say no, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi would say it depends whether it's babayis or basada or whether it's new or whether it's old. Yeah. Okay, and we'll continue. We'll finish off that discussion. Matzah Shabbos, Bez Hashem. Yeah. So we're talking about oil connection with Hanukkah. Yeah, it's true. All right.
Sure.